Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence here. Oh, you're here so strong today, Lord. But you do everything in strength. Of course you are. Touch your people today, Lord. Bless us with your word. Encourage us, motivate us. Change us, Lord. Bring us into conformity with what you want us to be. Open heaven up for us today, Lord. And just pour out yourself on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we thank you, worship team. We sang some wonderful songs. I actually have a few comments on some of them. We started out with majesty. Majesty, authority, King of Kings. We have to recognize who he is, don't we? The God of all creation. Recognizing who he is where it all starts with us. All we might know of him, we might even accept him, but to really get into what he's doing and what he wants us to be, we have to recognize him. The book of Isaiah refers to the Lord more than 25 times as the Holy One of Israel. That's some kind of special name that he has for the Lord. The Holy One of Israel, what does that mean? It speaks of God's separation from and his aversion to sin. You know that God can't even look upon sin? When his son was on the cross taking our sins on him, God had to look away. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isaiah had an experience. He saw the Lord. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain, that means two, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He had a vision of the Lord, and what he saw brought him to his knees. He saw purity. He saw holiness. It can't be described just how pure and holy God is. In Revelation chapter 1, John saw Jesus. He had walked with Jesus. He knew Jesus for 3.5 years. He spent a lot of time with him. But what he saw, Jesus as he really is, had the same effect on him. It says he fell on his feet as if dead. We need to have that knowledge of God's holiness, don't we? Because it makes us realize what we are. The more we see him, the more we know him, the more we know ourselves. And the more we know our need for him. Second song we sang, or was it the third? It was the third. On eagle's wings. Hide me in your love. All my life take over. Hide me in your love. And what is his love? You know, when I hear that, I think of Jesus. Because Jesus is the Father's love, isn't it? hide me in your love. All my life, take over. You know, there's something being asked for, and there's something being offered. Want his love, and yet we want him to take over our lives. The children of Israel had a problem. Every time an enemy would come against them, well, what happened? They stopped relying on the Lord. Egypt would come against Israel, and Israel would hire or turn to Assyria and have them help them deal with it. Then Assyria would come against Israel, and Israel would go to Egypt, back and forth. And we see it over and over again in the Bible. But that's kind of human nature, isn't it? We want to fix our... Chris talked about it during testimony. We want to fix things our way. And then we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, we need help. What happens when we rely on the world? We get entangled in the world, don't we? We get caught up in everything they are. Because contrary to what they might tell you, they expect something when they help us, don't they? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Children of Israel had to pay tribute. They lost part of who they were. There's not just their standing in the world, although that diminished. They lost part of their identity. Because when we rely on the world instead of God, that's what happens. Because our identity has to be in Him. Next song we sang was Still. And I'm going to go over the lyrics because this is basically what I'm preaching on this morning. It starts out, hide me now. When? Now. We want everything now, but then again, we need everything now, don't we? Hide me now. Psalms 32:7 says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Hide me now under your wings. Psalm 91:4, He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Matthew 23:37, Jesus said to Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Those are sad words, aren't they? And ye would not. He wants to gather us under his wings, under his feathers, this place of protection, the place of security, the secret place of the Most High. The shadow of the Almighty. And he says, and ye would not. Cover me within your mighty hand. Cover me. Not just from physical danger, not just from spiritual danger, but also from sin. He covers us. That's called atonement. This is the high holy days in Israel, the days of awe. According to the calendar, the Day of Atonement is supposed to start when there's three stars in the sky tonight. But I believe that's in Israel, in Jerusalem. So what does that mean? What time is it there now? It's there, isn't it? I think 9 hours? Yeah. So this... Because God didn't invent time zones. I believe when it happens there, that's when it happens. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Covering. When the oceans rise and thunders roar. Once again, we see that word when, not if. Because there are going to be storms of life, aren't they? I will soar with you. Isaiah 40:31, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and soar. We also mentioned that in that other song, On Eagle's Wings, talked about soaring. You ever watch an eagle when it flies? It's beautiful. I used to sit for hours and just watch. They just kind of drift, catch the wind, and they're back and forth. Effortless. That's the way it's supposed to be with God, isn't it? We're not supposed to struggle and fight for everything. We're supposed to just go with His flow. They let that wind catch underneath their wings. And we're supposed to do the same thing. The same Hebrew word and the same Greek word for wings is also the word for spirit. We're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit we're supposed to just flow. It's supposed to be easy, isn't it? Who makes it hard? I will soar with you above the storm. When Jesus walked on the water, was He above the storm? Physically, it was still all around Him. It was above Him. But yet, spiritually, He was above it, wasn't He? Peter, get out of the boat. He wants us all out of the boat with Him in the storm. Because that's where the victory is. Father, You are King over the flood. Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The enemy does come in like a flood, doesn't he? And God raises a standard. You know, that word standard actually means a way of escape. We see that word in First Corinthians 10:13, don't we? With every temptation, God provides a way of escape. Temptation also means adversity. So with every adversity, there's a way of escape. God raises up a standard against the enemy. I will be still and know You are God. I will be still and what? Know. Not think, not feel, not say maybe. It's definite to know. And it isn't just to have knowledge, it's experiential knowledge. When we know the Lord, that's the knowledge we're supposed to have. We experience it, we know. We know that we know that we know. You could probably go on and on with that. I will be still and know that You are God. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Cease striving. Flow with Me. Exodus chapter 14, when the children of Israel were up against the Red Sea and the Egyptians were marching down, riding down on them. God told Moses to tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. God told Joshua to tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For many of you that, any of you that haven't heard me say it, that the word for salvation in those two verses is Yeshua. Find rest, my soul. How do we do that? We spend our entire lives seeking for rest, don't we? Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. In Christ alone. It's where we position ourselves. That's a very big word. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Where we choose to be, where we position ourselves, where we want to be. John 16:33, Jesus said, in me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In the world, tribulation, problems. In Jesus, we have peace. Know His power. There's that word know again. That means to experience it. But what is required to know His power? Faith. It always starts with faith, doesn't it? Know His power in quietness and trust. Our opening scripture today was Isaiah 30:15-18. I'm going to read verse 15 right now. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. There's that phrase again. Why do we fight against God? He wants only good things for us. Obey my commandments and it will be well with you, he says. But we notice quietness and trust in that verse, didn't we? Every time we sing that song, I think of this verse, and for a long time I've thought about speaking on it. Verse 15 actually mentions four things. Returning and rest, quietness, and confidence. Returning and rest shows the needed action towards God. Quietness and confidence shows the result of that action. The first one, returning, means to turn back, to turn again. It means to repent. In Hebrew, it's teshuvah, which means to turn, to repent. That's what we're supposed to be doing on the Day of Atonement. We're supposed to be doing that all the time, naturally, but especially on this day. But returning also involves trusting, doesn't it? Because without trust, are we going to turn back to God? We have to trust that He's going to take us back. He says He will. And God keeps His word, doesn't He? Great is His faithfulness, we sing, even when we aren't. Second word is rest. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Whatever direction you're traveling in, turn around and come back to me, he says. The Bible is full of invitations. Come into the ark, Noah. Come to the waters, you who thirst. Come to me. Number three is quietness, which means to be still, to repose, to rest. Number four is confidence, which means to trust. You know, we see these words over and over again, don't we? Pretty much for all of them. Confidence quiets our souls, doesn't it? Psalm 94:19 says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, or as one translation says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Confidence also relies on trust, doesn't it? When we return to the Lord, we do so because we trust Him to take us back. What's that based on? It's based on our knowledge of Him. I don't know about you, but He's taken me back several times. return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. That means ever-increasing amounts each time we come. Each time we come back to him, he needs more grace, and he provides more grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Quietness and confidence are the results of faith. They're both based on the assurance of that faith. There's a story Corrie Ten Boom told about when she was a child. Her father, I guess, was a clockmaker or something anyway. He had a shop that he fixed things or worked on things. And she had a broken toy. And she took it in, she set it down in front of him and said, "Fix it." And turned around and walked out. She was confident. That's the way we're supposed to be with God, isn't it? Apparently, he had to go out and buy her another toy. He wasn't able to fix it, but yet, it was fixed. But God doesn't have to buy us something new. He can fix things for us, can he? Verse 16 and 17. Well, the last of verse 15, it said, "And ye would not." That's a decision, isn't it? "But ye said no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift." What's happening? What happens when we go against God and we stop relying on him? You know, there are times when he may want us to seek help from other people, but it has to be his decision. It has to be not instead of God. "1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee." That's the complete opposite of what they were promised if they obeyed God's commandments. They were told that they would put their enemies to flight. "Till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill." Verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." Blessed are all they that wait for him. Why would he wait? He has the power. Why doesn't he just do something? You know, he could turn us all into little robots, couldn't he? But he wants us to react in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God." Faith. What does he want from us? He wants faith. He wants our trust. Our God is a God of mercy and judgment. He looks at our moral condition and acts based on that. He has to allow the sorrow of our actions to complete its work in us. That requires there to be sorrow for our actions. The things that we do break God's heart. They have to break our heart too. A broken and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. He will not turn away. Broken and a contrite spirit. You know, his waiting isn't indifference. It's from his divine desire to help us. Does God wait because he knows we will return? Or does God wait even if he knows we won't? I think he gives everybody the opportunity, so I believe he waits. But some of us, or some people, would not. He waits for us sometimes to wait for Him. We wait too. We wait on Him. This verse always makes me think of Luke 15:11-24. I'm not going to read that the whole thing. But it's the story of the prodigal son. And most people, probably everybody in here has heard it, where a prodigal son wants his share of the inheritance, and he wants to go to a far city, and he wants to have fun. And he does. Has all kinds of friends around him. As soon as he runs out of money, no more friends, no more money, and he ends up feeding pigs, which pretty bad thing for a Jewish boy to be doing. He wanted to eat the things, the corn husks that the pigs were eating, because he was that hungry. And when he came to himself, when he reached that point, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He was waiting for him, wasn't he? Standing there at the gate waiting. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. He did that for me. Our Heavenly Father, when we return, when we come back, as soon as He sees us coming back, He runs to us. Jeremiah 3:22. Says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Hosea 3:5, afterwards said the children of Israel, "Return and seek the Lord their God." Hosea 6:1-3, actually I'm just going to read verse 1. "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up." As I said, this is on the Jewish calendar, we're in the middle of the days of awe, the holiest days in the Jewish religion, the holiest days of the year, the days of Teshuvah, which, as I said, means to return. It means to return to God. It means to repent. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It's a day of fasting, a day of sackcloth, a day of the affliction of the soul. Joel 2:13 says, "Rend your heart and not your garments." Some people make a show out of tearing their garments, thinking that's going to be enough for God, but He doesn't want that. He wants our hearts to be torn. He wants our spirit to be broken and contrite. He wants us to hate the things we do that He hates. Yom Kippur is the day the high priest enters into the Holy of Holies for the people. He takes a sacrifice in before the mercy seat. According to Hebrews, Jesus did that for us. So do we still need to observe or to follow the things of Yom Kippur? we always need to repent, don't we? And I believe there's not a person in this room, including myself, that doesn't need to repent. Rita had an experience. She shared prayer and fasting. We have a pastor's prayer every Wednesday morning. And Jeremiah from the Alliance Church, Pastor Jeremiah, shared what they're doing. 40 days of prayer and fasting. Not every day. They're doing it on Tuesday, the fasting. Tuesday morning. And every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, they're having prayer. Tuesday, because the final Tuesday is going to be Election Day. And we need prayer. We need to afflict our souls. We need to come before the Lord, humble ourselves. We need to do everything it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's what it's about. I don't know how many, did anybody hear how many people they had in Washington, D.C. yesterday? I saw a picture of it. There's a lot of people there, and there's a lot of people online, too, while this was happening. Daryl? Yeah. Oh, there's, that, as far as you can see, there's people in the picture I saw. But that's what we need. Because we have a mighty God. We have a faithful God. He wants us to humble ourselves and come to Him so He can heal our land. Do you believe He wants to heal our land? I do. Amazing things are happening. You know, you could say the world is going crazy, and it is, but yet, even in that, God's speaking to His people. So I'm going to encourage you, if you will, and I'm going to try to do it, Tuesdays. Tuesday morning, fast. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, pray. Of course, that doesn't mean that's the only time you have to do it or you can do it. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You, Lord, for Your patience with us. We thank You, Lord, that You know our frame. You know that we are but dust. You know that we have weaknesses. That doesn't give us an excuse to be the way we are, Lord, but it shows us Your love. And it shows us Your desire for us. Lord, I just pray that You just bring healing to our land. Bring healing to each one of our lives, Lord, because true repentance, true revival is individual at the beginning. Then it's supposed to spread from there. Lord, work in each one of our hearts. The work that only You can do. Bring us to that place, Lord. A place where we're more pleasing to You. Lord, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You, Lord, for the love that You poured out on Your people today and every day. I pray, Lord, that You'd be with each one of us, and You'd keep us safe, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.